Scripture. You have the option for your own Bibles, the handout, the Pew Bible, which would be page 95 if you're following in that. If you would please rise as we read Acts chapter 5, the first 11 verses. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came over all who heard it. The young men got up and covered him, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price." And she said, "Yes, that was the price." And Peter said to her, "Why is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord, to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well." And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard of these things. Please be seated. This is a bit of a difficult passage to read and study because it involves death, and as far as we can tell, death of believers. And so we have questions about what's going on here and why and a few things like that. Last week's passage recorded the fact that God the Holy Spirit moved some believers to sell houses and land and bring the proceeds to the apostles for them to distribute. And this week's passage records one specific couple appearing to do the same. They are not doing the same, but who would know the difference? Surely not us as human beings, unless we were there to observe all of that. God knows that they are appearing to do the same, but we would not. So as we're studying this passage, we are recognizing that Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 records the outworking of impure motives and the sovereignty of God in man's affairs. That's a relatively positive statement for what initially appears to be a rather negative passage. And as we study this, not only are we going to likely see some things from a different perspective than we may have in the past, but recognizing when God does something, he does something well. And we may not always understand it either at the time or later, but he does things well. And so the first two verses I have entitled as "The Plan Conceived and Implemented." Here is a couple that this is literally the first time we're hearing about them. We know literally nothing about them other than their names. We don't know a whole lot of stuff at this point. Part of that is because Scripture has not recorded it for us to know. And some of us like to know stuff. And so we go, well, why didn't it say something about this? Why not that? Well, it did not advance what God the Holy Spirit was seeking to communicate. So last week, we have people who are being moved by the Holy Spirit because they have the means to provide some funds so that the church can meet needs of people who are needy. Obviously a very good thing. Scripture doesn't record the way the apostles or the early church react or recognize those who sold lands, houses, etc., in order to meet needs of fellow believers. It just doesn't say anything. Some would say, well, how could they acknowledge them when we would recognize that there would be many who don't want to be recognized, they just want to meet the need. And so Scripture doesn't say what they do or do not do. We also have nothing in Scripture to record the way Ananias and Sapphira react or the specific impression they have because of what they observed. So what do we know? We know from verses 1 and 2, they decide, we have this land that we can sell, and we ought to sell it, and we're going to hold some of the money, and we're going to give some of the money, but we're not going to let anybody know our plan. Well, guess what? God already knew, so it's not like it was going to be a surprise to God. However, Scripture tells us that much. Beyond that, we don't know. However, knowing a little something about the fallen nature, it seems that Ananias and Sapphira believe they see a way to raise themselves in the eyes of the early church. A possibility that someone is going to look at them and say, oh, they must be really committed believers, that they would sell property and bring the money so that needs can be met. I mean, after all, only really spiritual people do that, right? Well, we're seeing here, no, it's not just really spiritual people that do that. There are some people who have no spiritual life whatsoever who give money, and our government encourages that because of itemizing in taxes. I mean, isn't that why some people give in the first place? It's not about the giving. It's about, I don't want to pay so much tax. Well, I suppose we ought to ask, What would happen with the giving in a lot of churches if the United States government decided charitable giving was no longer something that could be deducted? How many churches would all of a sudden not have money? I don't know the answer to that, but I recognize that there is a connection to the fallen nature. And there are some individuals who are incredibly wealthy who give all kinds of money, and they get their names on buildings and every other thing. And we don't necessarily know their motives. Here, the fact that it says they keep back a portion, we can see that they have a motive that they want to make it look like everyone else who has sold something and given money without being like everybody else who has sold something and given money. And so here we are. We don't have a lot of time references here. The end of chapter 4 states things in generalities. Beginning of chapter 5 doesn't say, so after a couple of months, or the next week, or any other thing like that. But this couple has seen this going on, and they decide, we're going to be part of this. They agree together, Scripture says. So we could say, in legal terms, they conspire. Did you ever notice how when people are arrested, there's this bunch of charges, and then there's often just as many conspiracy to? It means it wasn't just a one-person thing. Somebody agreed to do it. And so it's not just the doing of it, it's the planning and agreeing to do. And they agree together. They conspire in what they will do. And it is presenting a united front so that they keep their story straight. This is what we're going to do. We sell the property. We keep this money. We give that money and we tell everybody that's how much we got for the land. It's not the truth, but that's what they have agreed together. And so they do sell the property. They do keep that portion, and they present the balance as if it's the entire price. And again, who is going to know the difference? The person who bought the property might know the difference, but there's nothing here that says that that's a believer. And so, from their perspective, ain't nobody gonna know. So, Ananias brings the portion, lays it at the apostles' feet, just like the others had done with the entire price of their houses or lands. And so this plan conceived and implemented, the application, an unsaved person has no choice, but believers have a choice. And this from Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. We as believers, with the Holy Spirit indwelling, have the ability through God the Holy Spirit empowering that we do not let those things make our choices, that we fight against those things. And I'm not going to say it's his fault, it's her fault, but either one of them could have said to the other, you know, this is a bad idea. They did not. They agreed together. So while it does not specifically say Ananias and his wife Sapphira, who are believers, we are presuming that they are believers in the early church, but they are not submitting themselves to the lordship of God in order to do something that is going to bring honor and glory to God. Well, this second part, the personal results. And I'm using verses 3, 4, and the very beginning of 5, and verses 6 through 10 for this section. And somebody's going to say, okay, so I guess that means that part of verse 5 is going to get used somewhere else. And yes, that's true. So, here we go. The personal results. Ananias and Sapphira's lie is exposed by God the Holy Spirit to Peter. How else is Peter going to say, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back some of the price of the land? How is Peter going to know? Apart from God revealing it to him, he does not know. And so we look at this and we might say, okay, I'm getting the idea that this was an important thing for not allowing it to slip by. So God had this bigger purpose in it. And I would say, yes, but it's a little hard to identify simply from that one verse. So we're going to keep working with it. In verse 4, Peter states how serious a situation this is. Look, guy, you know, there's nothing here that says if you sell land that you have to give all the money. There's nothing here. It is for you to decide. And if you chose to sell land, and from that land, you kept the money, except for thus and so percent that you gave to the church so that needs could be met, everything would have been fine. However, look what you were doing. You wanted everyone to think you were giving all of it when you were not. God did not say you must give all of it, but if you are claiming you're giving all of it, then you better be giving all of it. Long about this part of the year, we are getting statements from banks and all kinds of other things because we know income tax is going to be prepared and we need those pieces of paper so that we can put that information on our tax returns. Whether we claim things is a different question. But if we claim it, not only as citizens, but as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be God-honoring. And just because there's a place there that says, did you donate any bags of clothing to charity? Knowing how is anybody ever going to be able to check that? I can say, oh, why, sure I did. And I'm going to take $200 off for that. As a believer, if I did not donate bags of clothing, I better not put anything there. It's that simple. It's integrity. It's testimony of God to the world. And so here, he's saying, Ananias, nobody said you had to give. Nobody said you had to give any portion. But the fact remains, you are trying to claim you gave it all. And God says, no, you didn't. How far into the early church is this? I don't know for sure. We have had the opportunity to see great numbers of people coming to faith in Jesus. We have seen the early church grow. A situation like this, if it were to be allowed to continue, could have really messed up the early church. And God says, no, no. We're going to handle this. It is that serious. And so, God the Holy Spirit takes Ananias' life. It is stated rather simply, he fell down and breathed his last. Well, if he breathed his last, that means, if we were using all these modern colloquial hood type references, he dead. He's dead. He breathed his last. And so it says the young men got up. Well, apparently they're already there. We don't know what this setting was, but apparently they're already there. And they carry him out and they bury him. I mean, that's what you do with dead bodies. You bury them. About 3 hours later, verse 7. Again, Scripture doesn't tell us what's been going on for those 3 hours with Sapphira. I know that it would be really easy for us to say, well, let's think about this. They kept back some of the money and gave the rest. And so Sapphira was out getting new curtains, and she was looking at that new dining room table. And, you know, and maybe she was, but Scripture doesn't tell us what was going on. She may have had any number of other things that she needed to do, like go to the marketplace because supper was going to happen that night, just like every other night. We don't know what was going on. But again, with our knowledge of the fallen nature, we can say, you know, it's a pretty good bet she was out spending some of the money. Well, whether she was or wasn't is not the issue. 3 hours later, she comes to that same setting that Ananias had come. She's in this greater situation of the early church being together. And Peter, and I love how Scripture uses some words that we normally would not. She comes walking in at the end of verse 7, not knowing what had happened. Verse 8, and Peter responded to her. As far as Scripture, we don't know anything that has happened other than she just walked in. But he responded to her. I believe it's obvious in the Scripture that God the Holy Spirit was leading him to seek her out. And I would venture to say, with that, I can think of other places in Scripture where something similar happens. Like in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve hide, and God says, "Where are you?" God knows where they are, but he is asking the question to give them the opportunity to confess to what has occurred. And I believe this is a very similar situation. Tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. Sapphira has the opportunity for a yes or a no answer. Sapphira could say, "Well, Peter, Ananias and I talked about this, and we decided that that's the story we were going to tell, but that really isn't the truth." The rest of this passage would have been very different if she had done that. She says, "Yes, that was the price." Well, Sapphira, your opportunity to confess has now passed. And verse 9, Peter says, "Why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test?" So, we have this 3-hour time frame. Scripture gives no statement about what Sapphira has been doing, and Scripture does state Sapphira's ignorance of what occurred while she was not there. Peter asked the question, "Yeah, that was it." And what we have is a situation where we have mercy and grace that are in play, and you can remember from last week doing some defining of mercy and grace. And so here we have the mercy for the opportunity to confess, and if confession had been made, grace would have been there for forgiveness, for restoration, but it was not. And so Peter now says, "The feet of those who buried your husband are coming in, and they will bury you." And she falls down and breathed her last, and they bury her beside her husband. So the personal results here. God the Holy Spirit takes the lives of two believers because they brought dishonor upon the name of the Lord through their impure motive, thereby proving the incredible value of one's personal testimony and the fact that God takes his honor seriously. For example's sake, when God proposed to Moses that he would wipe out Israel and raise up a nation from Moses, Moses says, "What about the honor of your name, God? What are the nations of the world going to say if you wipe out this people? What about your honor? Did they do badly? Yes. But what about your honor?" We need to take it seriously. Now, this third one, the practical results. And that's part of verse 5 and verse 11. That last part of verse 5 says, "And great fear came upon all who heard of it." And we can imagine that to be the case. Did you hear what just happened over there? This guy came in, said he sold land, put the money at the apostles' feet, and Peter said, "You're lying to God, the Holy Spirit." Woo! He's done. That's going to cause some stir. Lie to the Holy Spirit and he takes your life? Ooh, I better be careful about that. I need to make sure that I do not do one thing and say another. You know, God's serious about this stuff. In verse 11, "And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard of these things." We say, ah, now this is a little different. The whole church and this other group. So the whole church is getting this incredible lesson in make sure that you're honoring God, and people who are not part of the church are hearing that God takes his honor seriously and wants his people to behave appropriately. Now, it does not say, "And 1,000 people came to know the Lord." But it's a possibility that as people were hearing the gospel and recognizing what God did because of what this couple wanted the appearance to be, they are understanding this is serious stuff. So, practical results for Ananias and Sapphira. Well, yes, they're dead. But that is not it. Apparently, they wanted to receive some notoriety for what they were doing. Well, guess what? Here we are, 2,000 years later, we still know their names. Okay? They got notoriety, but not the kind that I'm sure that they had wanted. Another factor. They do not lose their salvation for their impure motive. There's nothing here that indicates anything about their salvation. what does show up here is God saying, okay, that's enough. I'm not going to allow you to continue living and possibly bring more dishonor to my name. That's going to be over right now. But does it mean now they're not saved? Well, that would mean that God would have to change his mind. If God, as Scripture teaches us, chooses us knowing how bad we are from the start, we cannot give God a reason to unchoose us. So it doesn't affect salvation, but it surely does affect this life. And yes, there is a third practical thing to be stated for Ananias and Sapphira. They were in the presence of their Savior much sooner than anyone had expected. Now, some fill-ins for you. What are the practical results for the early church? Because it's not just Ananias and Sapphira that are affected. It's the whole church, and it's Jerusalem even. So, a couple of fill-ins for you. The early church receives a warning about impure motive. It is not wrong to give a portion. Just don't claim it's the whole thing. Give as much as you desire. But if you say, I'm giving the whole thing, you make sure it's the whole thing. The early church receives a lesson about honoring God with one's decisions and life. Is it important for the early church to understand individual actions and decisions have a bearing on the whole church? You bet it is. How many times do we hear people say things like, oh, well, I don't go to church. You know, they're hypocrites over there. They say one thing and do another. They say they believe, but their life doesn't show it. We hear that, and it's not good. Now, are there hypocrites within the church? Yeah, there are. Are there real, true, faithful believers in the church? Yes. And so, for those individuals that say, oh, no, I'm not going to church because they're hypocrites over there. We can also say, excuse me, but they're hypocrites over here too. And why don't you come to the church and you can see what real live faithful believers desire to do? Not merely what the hypocrites are about. Because you can find hypocrites everywhere. The early church receives a platform for the power and the reality of faith in Jesus that the world cannot deny. How did that happen? How did Peter know that they lied? Well, God told him. Oh, God told him. So when they're saying stuff about God knows my heart, God really does know my heart. Yeah, okay, I got it. The early church receives dynamic numeric growth. Now, I recognize that this does not say, and thousands came. But we're going to be seeing that dynamic growth in these chapters to come. And part of it is coming out of believers being faithful to God, giving God the glory, and so forth. So the application here, God is good, God does good, God accomplishes good. No believers were harmed in this action, and God received glory. Now, that sounds a little bit like the thing that you're going to see if you watch a Western, where, you know, big shoot 'em up stuff and all those horses dropping and whatever. You know, no animals were harmed in the filming of this, you know. I think some people go a little too far, but I'm glad that there are people who are concerned about the well-being of animals. It is important. No believers were harmed in this. Nobody lost salvation. And even though it was not the way they thought it might be, their lives actually did bring some glory to God. And so the conclusion, the early church needed to understand that it is not about individual believers being seen and recognized for their actions. It is about the world seeing the actions of the Lord Jesus Christ in and through believers. Jesus in me, living in this life. That's what it is. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage that reminds us that our plans are not in our control, but also, Father, that you take your honor and glory very seriously. Lord, we often fail when it comes to taking your honor and glory seriously. I pray that you would make us more mindful of that, and that you would work on our thoughts and our actions, our decisions, showing that we are more mindful of your honor and glory. Lord, we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.